I'm so glad to be with you. The last time I was with you, it was your first Sunday in this building. It was the end of October and the weather was still warm. And here we are getting ready for Christmas and maybe even some snow. Let me say that we miss you at Cary. And I'm so glad to be able to keep meeting with you and helping your congregation. This morning I'm going to be focusing in on the third passage that we read from John chapter 14. In order to remind us that the season of Christmas that we celebrate this time when Jesus was born is actually pointing us to the time that he died and that he rose again. In the passage that we read from Isaiah, Isaiah spoke of Jesus coming. When he would announce the time of God's favor. And John the Baptist, he pointed the way to Jesus. He announced his coming, preparing his way. And of course, this is the time of the year that we think of Jesus as a child. We are reminded of the faith of Mary and Joseph. Of the visits of the shepherds and the angels. And we are reminded of the attempt to kill Jesus at that time. But we cannot forget why Jesus came. He was sent by God the Father to reconcile us to God, to die on a cross and then to raise again. And so in John chapter 14, Jesus reminds his disciples that he is going to prepare them a place. And he tells them that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that we must trust in him. So as we prepare for Christmas, I want to tie it all together with some thoughts about Jesus' resurrection. Because Jesus is risen, we must exercise daily faith. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Have you ever noticed that we have difficulty putting faith in things that we cannot see? We don't like our hearts struggle to trust in a God who is that we can't touch and see. But the interesting thing about faith is that we are people are trusting all the time. We put faith in people. And we even put faith in machines. And perhaps the best example of that is the aeroplane. How many of you have been on an airplane in the last year? So you know that feeling when there's a bit of turbulence. Or when before you take off they say, we have to wait because something's broken and we need to fix it. And that happened to me recently, the broken plane part. And I had two thoughts. The first one was, I'm glad that they know that some part is broken and they're fixing it. And the second one was, maybe I just don't even want to know. Or think that this plane can break down. And we have faith in the pilot. Every time I got on a plane in Africa, I was reminded about how much faith was required. When you sit down in your seat in the plane, and you see that the sign that says where the safety jacket is, in English it says life vest under seat. But when I see that it has been, it was in English, and then it was in French, and then it was in Russian, and then it was in Portuguese, and then it was in Swahili, I'm thinking this plane has had a long life already. It's got more than 100 or 200,000 kilometers. And I remember one time I was flying into the Eastern Congo. And it was like you imagine Africa and the jungle. The airport was a not paved, but a gravel runway. It was cut out of all the forest. And as we were getting near to this runway, the man seated in the seat next to me, he said to me, we should be really glad that we're in this plane. And of course this is concerning to me. Shouldn't any plane be able to land here? What's so special about this plane? Well, he told me that we were in the only plane that was able to land at that airport. We were in a de Havilland Twin Otter. It's okay, it's a special name of a plane. A Twin Otter. And This plane has a very, very short takeoff and landing. It's the one that bush pilots use in northern Canada. Or they put the pontoons on it and they can land in small lakes. Well, we began to land. And I noticed immediately that we were landing going uphill. And of course, when you're landing, that's good. Because the hill is slowing down. But as we got to the top of the hill, and our plane stopped, I saw that there were planes that did not stop. They had crashed on the sides of the runway. So I'm glad to have faith in that plane. And in that pilot, because he'd done that many times before. What I'm saying to you is that faith is really a simple thing. We exercise faith all the time. And so Jesus says, trust in me. Believe in God, believe also in me. And so my first question to you this morning is, what do you need to trust in Jesus for today? Perhaps it's a family challenge. Perhaps it's a financial challenge. Perhaps it's a work challenge. Maybe you're so tired from work. Or you have a health challenge. Jesus is calling on us today to put our trust in Him again. And like the pilot of that plane, we know that Jesus has done this many times for us. He has been faithful. The second thing I want to remind you of this morning is that Jesus is coming again. This passage that we read in John 14 speaks of Jesus coming to get us, to bring us home. And although this text is often read at funerals, it's actually a text that's more about Jesus' second coming than it is about the dead going to be with Jesus after death. Christmas reminds us that one day Jesus will come and get us. He will come to bring us home. We do not know the day or the hour. We do not know when He is coming. And so we always need to be ready.
So we need to be ready.
Since I moved to Vancouver a year and a half ago, I've been thinking about what home is. And I've noticed that home, the sense of home, it comes from being familiar with a place. And in fact, a recent study showed that a place feels more like home if you come back to it often. So if you are traveling to Hong Kong or to China once a month, after a year of that, or even 6 months, Vancouver will feel more like home. You arrive at the airport and you are looking forward to coming to that place. To finding your favorite chair. To eating your favorite meal. To going on your favorite walk. Frequent homecomings to a new city will make it feel like home sooner. I think this fact can help us to think about our faith as well. Perhaps you've been a Christian for a while. You believed in Jesus many years ago. But something has happened. There's some kind of distance that's come between you and God. Times of prayer feel more like going on a new trip rather than coming home. Your relationship with God isn't as close as it once was. And maybe you go through a list of things that could be between you and God. Is it sin, God? Is there something that's separating me from you? And I believe that if that's the case, God's Holy Spirit will convict you of that. But it also may be that you are just not spending time with Jesus as you once did. Jesus is not going to feel like home to you. You're not going to feel the welcome of God's embrace around you. If you don't go often to that place, God will be a home for you if you go to God often. And you will find out that if God is your home, the first thing that comes to your mind when there's a challenge The first thing that will come to your mind is prayer. Is God help me? Or I lift this into your hands, God. That's how we know that God is a home for us. And getting used to Jesus as our home is the best preparation for being taken home with Him when He comes again. We need to follow Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And many people find that a hard statement. Because you know, it says, it does not say Jesus is a way. But He is the way. He's not one of the truths, but He is the truth. He is not some kind of life, but He is the life. And He says that no one can come to the Father except through Him. Jesus is closing all other options for people to go to heaven. So faith is not a mountain with many paths leading to God. Jesus is the only way. And so we read in Acts 4:12. In our world of being inclusive, this can be hard for people to swallow. But let me tell you two things which can make Jesus' exclusivity a little easier. First of all, being firm in our convictions does not mean we're intolerant. In fact, I found that knowing what we believe knowing what our faith is can help us to better understand the beliefs of others. It can help us to respect those who believe differently. It means that we can learn things from people. We can learn things from people who believe and from people who don't. We can learn things from people who have faith and from people who don't. Secondly, the way, the truth, and the life is personal. Jesus is the way. He does not say, I will show you the way. I will show you the truth. I will show you the life. He says, He is the way, the truth, and the life. Before I was a missionary, I lived in British Columbia. But it was in the BC interior, in the Okanagan. Never had I lived in Vancouver. So I have to confess to you that when we moved here, I was lost many times. Vancouver is is a place of one-way streets, of bridges and tunnels. Some of them you have to pay money to cross, others you don't. I also like maps to help me know where I'm going. But for the first few months, it was actually quite overwhelming. Because there are right turns, left turns. There are straight ahead roads. There are roads that you can only drive on after 5 p.m. And there are roads that have these arrows on them. So traffic could be coming this way against me, or I could be going with it. So all of this seemed quite dangerous to me. Furthermore, I actually have a pretty short memory for that kind of information. And when someone tells me, gives me directions, and the directions have 10 steps, you know, I think I can only remember the last three. In addition, I learned that in Canada, and this is different than Africa, people don't think it's a good idea for you to look at the map while you're driving. So what was I to do? Well, I learned that there's another way to get around Vancouver. And that's to have a guide. To have a guide. Someone to sit beside me. And all I have to do is do what they say to do next. Go straight. Turn left. There's a road construction here. Go right. And all I need to do is to follow the direction that I'm given. I don't even need to know that the lane is closed to oncoming traffic. I might not even know that there's danger ahead. But my guide helps me to avoid it anyway. So if you haven't solved my puzzle yet, I got a car with a GPS in the car. So while we may want to see the big map of our lives, and can't you remember praying like this? You say, Lord, show me your will for my life. And when I was younger, I would pray like that, and I would want some kind of detailed telegram. You know, and it would be, I would expect God would tell me, you will go to this church. And you will meet this young lady. You will marry her. Then 2 years later, you will move to this place. And you will get this job. And so on and so forth. But that's not how God works with us. He is like that guide in the car. And so in the moment he says, go left or go right. And as we listen to him in prayer, as we observe his word, as we get advice and counsel from leaders and friends in the faith, he will show us the way. And more than that, he will show us the way and help us to avoid dangers that we don't even know about. So with Jesus as our guide, I don't have to memorize a series of instructions for my life. I just need to listen to him. God gives us something better than detailed directions. He gives us a risen Savior who is worthy of our trust. The baby in the manger is the way, the truth, and the life. And as we listen to his voice at each fork in the road, he can give us reassurance in a dark and stormy night. And we know that he can lead us. So in conclusion this morning, I want to ask you, I want to challenge you to put your faith in Jesus once again. I think that probably many of you have some important decisions to make in your lives. You may be anxious about the future. You may be worried about events that you cannot control. Well, the risen Christ is calling you to trust in him. He is worthy of our trust. Amen.
Amen.